Yeah, so this evening we're going to have on the career coach, Terry McDougal.
Hello there.
Hey, Terry, how are you doing?
Good, good. Is it Quinn?
Yes, yes.
Oh, hey, Quinn, I'm doing great. Doing
great. All right. I'm so glad that you came on.
Can I see the bathroom?
Okay, sorry. My son just walked in. I'm on a... Okay, shh, shh, shh. Okay, sorry about that, Quinn. Go ahead.
No, that's fine. Fine. All right, so those were the kids?
Yeah. My son went out, but his friend needed to come in and do something, so... Yeah, you know how it is.
No, it's not fine. This is a family-friendly show.
Yeah, good.
So how are you doing this evening?
I'm doing good. It's been a busy day. I've been doing a lot of stuff. Had a few coaching calls, take my daughter to a doctor's appointment. So I've been all over the place today.
Oh, all right. Yeah. Busy day. And I guess, I'm going to go right there. I mean, I usually like to ask, I like to get at this question, somewhere like in the middle, but I'm going to go. How do you balance work? How's your work-life balance? What do you do? What type of things do you do to balance all of your responsibilities as well as at home? How do you balance that?
I would say my youngest child is 17. So she's pretty self-sufficient.
Okay.
I will say it is somewhat of a challenge, definitely, to keep to keep everything going that you have to in the house, to keep the house clean and to, cook food. Although pretty much everybody's like on their own, right? Like we occasionally will have like a family dinner, but my entire family's like running in different directions, right? So it's a lot of times hard to get everybody together. I almost have to like make an appointment with everyone. As an entrepreneur, I would say that it is difficult to put those boundaries in place to, balance, because a business is like a baby, right? Like it needs a lot.
Yeah.
And, at times I'll find myself working, pretty late into the night. It's a challenge, right? So I just try to, pay attention to if I'm feeling really tired. If I feel energized, I'll just keep working because I love doing what I do. But, I think that it's important to like check in with yourself sometimes. And if you feel tired, to, take a break and rest. The weather's getting cold, but when it was a little bit nicer, I was, whenever I would have breaks in between coaching sessions, I just get up, get out and walk, go for a walk, go around the block for 20 minutes or something. And that just has a, obviously it's good to do a little bit of exercise, but it has a way also of clearing your head and re-energizing you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wow. So I can tell that you have a pretty set schedule. I can tell that you're somebody who, tries to be, I know me for one, I try to be really regimented what I'm doing, in regards to making sure that everything that I need to attack for the day, make sure that I have a certain allotted for each task. I can tell that, you're pretty much the same way. So,
well, I live by my calendar. That's for sure.
Yes, definitely. For me, that's something that I learned, kind of being like in the, as an employee, not so much as
right.
I ignore, but, working at a lot of different companies and organizations, that is the one thing that will save you. Having a, I've kind of branched out with a lot of different things that I'm using, like as far as I'm using an app called Trello, I started with Microsoft Outlook, like a lot of people, you stay sit you at a desk, Microsoft Outlook, you're hooked up and, you have your different calendars depending on like if you're on certain teams and, So yeah, that is where I learned a lot of my organizational skills, like as far as like around my time management and keeping up with appointments. And then I've, you know, now that I'm kind of on my own as an entrepreneur, that is the one thing that I'm doing the most, is like looking for those different type of apps and things that kind of help me as far as, you know, manage all the different projects that I have.
Yeah, I agree. And it's funny because, you know, as a coach where I'm talking to people, you know, on the phone or doing Zoom meetings with them, initially we were playing, you know, like calendar tag, right? People would say, oh, I'm interested in talking with you. Like, what times do you have available? And, you know, you're checking your calendar and having to type it all in an email and send it. And usually by the time they'd get back to me, all the dates I gave them were in the past. And so I can't believe that it took me as long as it did to get a calendar program. You know, I got Acuity, but you know, there's Calendly, there's a lot of, there's a lot of them. And that has been a real saving grace for me because, you know, I can just send the link and people can just schedule. And if they need to reschedule, they can reschedule on their own. I don't have to stop what I'm doing to do that. So, that's super helpful. I actually use Trello also. I'm right now in the midst of considering a platform to run my coaching business off of that actually provides like client portals, which I'm really excited about because that way I can sort of, it's almost like a, you know, a file that me and the individual client can you know, pass documents back and forth. They can pay me through that system. And, you know, as a solopreneur, you know, you got to rely on that technology because otherwise you'll just be driving yourself crazy.
Yeah, absolutely. Definitely. And, you know, that a lot of my background has been like in like, you know, as far as like a data collection, you know, research evaluation. So I used a lot of different databases and a lot of different, tracking tools, and it's one thing that I can definitely say that like I pulled out from the workforce that has helped me so far, like as far as being on my own and starting something on my own. It's definitely been helpful to have that knowledge base, you know, coming from that environment, being able to say what type of tools can I use, what type of and looking at what type of technology that I can use, because that it's definitely it put you in a path that allows you to, make more informed decisions, you know, and that's the one thing about it when like dealing with data, that's the one thing you're giving people that data and that information so that they can make the best informed decisions. So the one thing that I've realized, like as far as with me and the things that I'm doing, I want to make sure that I'm making the best informed decisions. So I need like certain tools, certain tracking, you know, tools and mechanisms like that will allow me to make the best decisions as far as, you know, which way am I going to go forward?
Yeah, exactly. Well, I know, you know, you've got your podcast and you probably are able to sort of like track downloads and see stuff like that. I actually just launched a podcast a couple weeks ago too. And I'm excited to see, it's funny because I just got, you know, 10 downloads. You got to start somewhere, right?
Yeah, it's a slow process, you know?
Right?
But that's great. That's great. Yeah, that's always, you know, the one thing that you do realize in any type of business that you're running, it's a slow process, you know, it's an upward climb, you know. And so what got you started in, what was the, you know, because the one thing we like to do on The Last Crusade is talk about the journey, you know, Last Crusade.
Sure.
Like, what is the journey? You know, I like to talk to all of my guests about their journeys into their respective fields. So tell me about your journey a little bit.
Well, I mean, going back to, I really didn't know what I wanted to do when I got out of college. I was an economics major, which, you know, what do you do with that? I don't know. I actually chose that because I thought about business, but you couldn't take a lot of electives with business. And I really wanted to take like art classes and, you know, just different types of classes that I wouldn't have really had a lot of room for if I was a business major. But when I got out of college, my boyfriend's mom gave me this book called What Color's Your Parachute? And she said, before you do any interviewing, you know, read this whole book and do the exercises in it. And that was some of the best advice that I ever got in my whole career, because it opened my eyes up to something that I actually, you know, coach a lot of my clients on, which is, you know, really look at yourself and see, like, what are your strengths and what do you like to do? What are you good at? And doing all the exercises in that book, it really helped to focus me on a particular path in my career, which actually ended up being in marketing. The first job that I got actually was with the publishing company in the ad sales department. So I was interacting with like advertising agencies and stuff like that. And I was learning a lot. And that just got me off, you know, on a path towards marketing. Later on in my career, probably like 7 years after I got out of college, I did go back and get an MBA. And that, you know, I really focused on marketing as my area of study in the MBA program. But shortly after I got out of that, I got a job with a bank in marketing, and I did that for 21 years. I worked at two different banks, and I probably had about eight different jobs during that time. The funny thing is, when I look back, like, economics is actually a really good major if you want to go into banking. But when I was 22, I got out of college, I thought that banking seemed like the most boring thing in the whole world. But, you know, later when I was, you know, in my early 30s and my husband and I were married and, you know, we wanted to start a family and all that, I was like, I just want like a good job. And so a friend of mine worked at this bank and he was like, oh, I think they're looking for people in marketing. So, you know, once I got into it, I realized like, oh, this is actually very interesting. And like, they're big companies. There's a lot of different businesses under the umbrella of any bank. And I worked in a lot of different areas. Like I never actually worked in any of the retail areas, like, you know, checking accounts and all that. I always worked in more of like the business to business areas. And so it was very, very interesting, right? And there were actually a lot of opportunities. So the last bank that I worked at, I was there for 12 years, and I had about four jobs in that 12 years that I was there. And the last job that I had, I actually, I don't know, I kind of got talked into taking this job, and it wasn't a good fit. I wasn't very happy in it I was probably in it for about 3 years, and I'd say probably like for 2.5 years, I wasn't happy. And so, you know, it's just a funny thing. Like when you're going to work, and I was the primary breadwinner for my family. You know, actually when I went to work at that company, I'd gotten recruited from another bank that I worked at, and we moved from North Carolina to Chicago, and I got a big raise. And so at the time we only had three kids, but, you know, we had three kids and they were 8, 6, and 2. And where we lived in North Carolina, I always say like, I had a 5-mile commute to work, and my kids' school and daycare was between home and work. So it was fairly easy to balance, you know, me and my husband both working and having three kids. You know, it was a small city. It was doable. Yeah. But moving to Chicago, where, you know, we bought a house in the suburbs, it was about an hour train ride into the city. And I'm thinking, well, I can't leave my 2-year-old out in the suburbs at a daycare while me and my husband go to work. Like, it just, it's too risky, you know, because it's like, okay, yeah, what if she gets sick or something like that? So we actually decided that my husband would stay home with the kids. And it was a little bit scary to, you know, to even consider that, right? We said, okay, we'll give it a shot, and you know, if you really can't stand it, we'll look at, you know, we'll look at doing something different. But he actually really liked it, you know, and I think it was really positive for our kids to have, you know, their dad at home with them, and he was really patient, and you know, was good about taking them out to the playground and all kinds. I think he probably was better than I would have been if I stayed home, because he, you know, he's very present. You know, he'd be like, oh, we can go to the playground for 4 hours. You know, I would have been like, come on, we got to go, you know, go to Target or whatever.
Yeah.
But, you know, just in that sort of, I don't know, that headspace that I was in at work with not being very happy about the job, I really was thinking like, what do I want to do next? There were a lot of changes that were going on at work that enabled me to, it was a good time with some of the restructuring for me to leave. And I was in a position that I could leave without having another job. And so I just decided to do that. And quite frankly, I needed to detox a little bit from just the bad situation I was in. Like it just was, I was stressed out for a long time. And I really felt like I was between a rock and a hard place, just with some of the things that were going on and some of the expectations. There were people that didn't see eye to eye, and I was sort of in the middle of it. And so initially I just thought, okay, I'm just going to take a little time off. I'm going to do some, you know, stuff that's fun and, you know, just like heal in a way.
Yeah.
While I was doing that, I thought, you know, okay, well, if I'm going to take some time, like, what do I like to do and what am I good at? You know, kind of going back to that book that my boyfriend's mom had given me many years before. And, you know, people had told me that I was good at coaching and mentoring. I had led teams, and so I decided to look into getting a coaching certification. And I did actually enroll in a program. It took about 6 months to go through the training and another couple months to actually finish the certification. So it took about 8 months. And at first I just thought, I'll do this, but I'll still get another job. And maybe I'll just have a few clients on the side. And of course the skill will help me in my next job. And I thought that, oh, when I get closer to retirement, I can just do this full time. But you know, the funny thing is that when you're going through a program like that, there were a lot of people in the program that were really looking at this as an opportunity to change careers, to go into coaching full time. And, you know, I suppose that like that motivation was sort of contagious, you know, just being around people that were doing it. I started thinking, well, maybe I can just do it too. And so I just decided at some point, probably when I was getting close to the end of my training program, that, you know what, I'm just going to give it a shot and see if I can do this full time. And, you know, so that was, I finished up my training program in January of 2018. So, you know, it's coming up on 3 years of like, you know, serious full time. I had a few clients before I finished the program, but at that point I was like, okay, jumping out of the plane. But you know, it's been fun. I mean, it actually, being an entrepreneur is not necessarily for the faint-hearted, but I've always been somebody, even when I worked in the corporate world, who very often I would be assigned to like new projects, right? Like, okay, we're going to rebrand a business, or we just bought another company and we need to like integrate them into our company. Like very often I was given projects that were very open-ended and nobody had ever done before. And so I've never really had too much like fear about going out and figuring stuff out. In fact, I really like it. And that's actually part of even what the issue was when I left my last company, was that in the early years when I worked there, things were pretty open-ended. Like I would say that, you know, just an analogy that I would use is that there were a lot of opportunities where they would almost be like, okay, there's the jungle, here's a machete, cut a path through it, find out what's there, and come back and tell us what opportunities. Yeah. Like to me, that's super exciting. But just in the 12 years that I worked at that company, it went from, you know, pretty wild and open-ended to it was almost like, you know, a boring, you know, subdivision cul-de-sac, right? Like everything was like already developed and it just wasn't as fun for me. So going out on my own and just, you know, I think that there were some times that I was thinking about, you know, even marketing. Like I had a blog for a couple years and, you know, it was just nice to like wake up in the morning and be like, I want to write about this and I'm going to write about it and I'll have it published in a couple hours. You know, whereas if you're doing something like that in the corporate world, it's like you do that and then like 50 people have to okay it. and then you have to send it to legal and compliance, and you know, it, everything is so you know, just takes so long that I often felt like I had to work really hard just to do my job. And you know, I kind of like the you know, flying by the seat of your pants in the you know, in the entrepreneurial world, right? You can just do what you want to do, and that's exciting to me. I really like it.
No, definitely. I agree. I mean, I find a lot of mirrors, like as far as, you know, what you were saying, because, you know, I am, I'm currently in the Atlanta area. I'm originally from New York. And that was, you know, I was working in a lot of community-based organizations. I was doing a lot of community work. And I've always had an interest in teaching. I went back after a couple of years, you know, I went back and I got my master's in education. And then I got into teaching. And it was with a, it was with a another community-based organization, but they were like planted inside of the New York City school district. But very, I was there for about 3 years, felt that same, you know, that same feeling of being stifled, you know, just be, and it was, and it's, and a lot of it, and I think a lot of people would agree, just, you know, with the state of the way education is, it's very stringent. And coming in, I understood that, but the New York City school district is very interesting for a lot of different reasons. And I found myself, just a lot of, a lot of things. There was a lot of, and with the organization that I was working with at the time, they were going through a lot of different restructuring themselves, which happens a lot of times with nonprofits every so often, because funding changes, you know, once the funding changes, then the, you know, the scope of work changes. And I found myself in that position where, I just was not as enthused about teaching as I thought that I would be. And I've always, and from previous job experiences, being that type of person, that would always be given that working, and then especially being in like the data, dealing with the research evaluation, dealing with those pieces of the job, I was always like hooked up with like project managers when they would come in. And a lot of times with nonprofits, they don't have like a project manager in-house. They'll go outside and they'll, you know, hire one. So a lot of times, and then that's, you know, they'll look for those people, and they would always kind of like, link me up with the project manager. And, you know, they would always want to know certain things, like as far as, you know, because they were, you know, trying to, like forge that path. So it was kind of like, I was the one that was, with that, with the machete with them, like,
This is, right.
You know, you know, they're hiring you to cut through. I'm going to, you know, let you know, I'm going to let you know the whole terrain. And I love those type of opportunities to create something new and to develop something that had never been done before. And it was something for me personally that, you know, I always enjoyed that type of stuff. So and that was, you know, just in the 9 to 5, and then, you know, clocking out, and then in the evening always having like different you know, side hustles and stuff, like, you know, putting together, like, put, I remember, you know, just putting together computers from scratch, you know, things like that. You know, any type of thing that I can do to, you know, not only help somebody, but put a couple extra dollars in my pocket. It was always, you know, those two things always, you know, go hand in hand with me. And, you know, so I always saw myself as an entrepreneur. And, you know, I just kind of, with this move, it was one of the things that I wanted to do, was definitely, just venture out on my own, have something for myself, and, you know, not get, so caught up in, you know, being at places where, you have to go through so much, you know, so much red tape.
Absolutely.
Just going through that whole process of, you know, of having to, have an idea and then waiting for somebody to approve it. It just, at some point, you just want to be able to, you know, the buck, you want the buck to stop with you.
Or just be able to run as fast as you're capable of running. You know, it's funny, because I, one of the things that I've seen as sort of a pattern with a lot of people that I coach, and I think that this is something that happens with people that are sort of high achievers, is that a lot of times they're very fast processors, right? Like they, and maybe have like a strong intuition, right? Like they'll look at a situation and they'll just be able to evaluate what's going on quickly and arrive at a solution quickly. And a lot of times they end up getting really frustrated because maybe their boss is somebody who is a very linear processor, right? Yeah. And so, you know, they've leaped to this conclusion like 5 miles ahead and their boss is still way back here. And they're saying, hey, you know, like, I've got a solution for this problem. And their boss is like, you know, slow down, right? Like, they, a lot of times they don't even understand it and, you know, what's going on or why you're saying you want to do that. And, you know, I think back to my time in the corporate world where I have a pretty high confidence in my problem solving ability. I mean, I've done it for my whole career and in my life, and I've been successful. And, you know, sometimes I'd come up with what I thought were just really great creative ideas, and I would propose them to, you know, my boss or other stakeholders that I was working with. And so often I got this like blank stare, like, or they were, like, you know, they had like that, you know, the dog turning their head, like puzzled look. And I took it, you know, like maybe something was wrong with me or like that they were being critical of me or something like that. And now I realize it's kind of what I coached my clients on is that no, I was a very fast processor, right? And I had a different way. I'm very intuitive. And believe me, when you work in financial services, there's a lot of, you know, very formulaic linear thinkers, right? Like, because they're numbers people, right? They're like, you put the number in the equation and it always comes out the same way. And that's not, you know, if you're a creative person, you don't think that way, you know? And, but a lot of times they don't really trust your solution if you can't put it in the equation, right? If you can't show your work, you know?
Trying to figure out how did you get to there?
Yeah. You know? And you can't even explain it necessarily.
You can't, you just can't. You can't. You're like, I don't know.
Right. Exactly. And it's, I mean, it's one of the things I love about coaching is that first of all, I feel like I coach myself. I coach other people on issues that I either had or have. And it really has been through coaching that I actually recognize that situation in myself, you know, because I would be talking to people and they would be describing sort of similar situations and, you know, really starting to question and doubt themselves about like, you know, is there something wrong with me? Like, I think that this is the right answer to this problem, but why does nobody else get it? Right. Yeah. And when they would explain it to me, I'd be like, look, you are miles ahead of them. So, you know, what you're going to need to do is like, as hard as it is for somebody who is a fast processor, you know, you do have to slow down and you have to go back and take the decision maker by the hand and walk them through. Like, you may have to, you know, go back and think like, well, how did I come up with this? Let me think through, how would I explain this? And it's hard. It's hard to do for somebody that wants to just run fast. But that's the way that that's the way you influence, right? Is that you meet people and you communicate with them in a style that you know, resonates with them. Because otherwise you're like, you know, two ships passing in the night.
Yes, definitely. And as we would say, you know, working in community-based organizations, you meet the client where they're at.
Exactly. Exactly.
You meet the client where they're at. So I can definitely understand. And for because you're dealing with, you know, working in the environments that I work, you work with people who are in a lot of tough situations, dealing with chronic homelessness, mental illness, dealing you know, substance abuse, all types of, you know, a lot of different life issues. And then, you know, you have us as the staff members, we're trained in all of these highfalutin things, but there was not, you know, to make that connection, knowing what they need, but then being able to meet them where they're at, because they may want to get to a certain point and they're like, you know, I want to take my life and I want to fix this and I want to fix that and I want to get, and you, they're telling you that you know, that's where they want to get. Being able to meet them where they're at and being able to say, okay, so let's go through that process. In order for you to get to this point, we're going to take care of this. Mm-hmm. Let's take care of that. Get to the next, to get to that next level. So yeah, definitely. I see the correlation there.
Definitely. And I mean, really, I think what you're just describing there is it's the same process that I go through in coaching. Right. And it's, you know, I think that for anybody that has a goal in mind, you know, you do have to take it step by step, right? Okay, what's the first step that you're going to take towards that goal? And I can imagine with some of the people that you're dealing with, it might be, you know, something as simple as like, okay, well, we need to get you some clothes, right? Or we need to, you know, get you a meal or a bed that you can sleep in tonight, right? Like that's the first step, get you a shower. It's kind of the Maslow's hierarchy of needs, right? Like you need to be able to survive first. And once you get those very basic, you know, human needs taken care of, and then you're in a position that you can take one step up to the next level.
Yes, that was, and I'm just so surprised that there is that, I'm finding that correlation. I can't believe that. Like, and I mean, I think because, you know, you think about it in a sense where, you know, you have the business world and the way that things work there, then you do have like that, you know, you have some, like me, I guess, because I was the type of person who I never, I think for me, there was one point in my life when I was younger, I did want to work like in, and I guess because living in New York, I did want to work on Wall Street because, you know, you see like the business and all the excitement and everything, you know, and of course, like the, you know, like you have the movie Wall Street with Charlie Sheen and you know, mm-hmm. you see that energy and you're drawn to that energy, mm-hmm. But as I went through school, everything kind of slowed down for me. And I said, you know, I want to be able to take my education. I want to be able to help the community that's around me. Mm-hmm. That became the thought. And it's just so wild how, you know, even though those are two totally different, you know, fields, you would think that the mindsets would be different, but they're actually not when you're talking about developing and creating a business as opposed to developing and creating a person.
Yeah. No, it's not. I mean, and I'll tell you too, that like one of the things that I see quite a lot, when people are stuck, right, when they're in a position where they don't know what to do next towards their goal. And it could be something pretty big. It could be like, well, I'm a director in this business and I want to get to the VP level, but you know, everything's relative, but a lot of times people like operate in that fight or flight mode, even if they have like a high level corporate job, you know, that they, and especially when they don't know what to do, or there's some fear, or there's something, you know, there's some uncertainty, and it's very natural for humans to avoid or to fight. Right. So they might get defensive, right, at work. There's, you know, there's conflict with other people around them. And those levels of energy, there's not a lot of, you know, positive energy that you can pour into, you know, moving towards your goals. And so a lot of times I'm dealing with people to try to like have them examine the situation and say, you know, if you're avoiding taking action or you're getting defensive with people around you, like, is that really necessary? You know, like what other things could you be doing besides that? Because, you know, a lot of times people will say like, oh, my boss or my coworker or somebody, you know, they act like this. And so I have to be defensive. And I say, well, what if you weren't defensive? Maybe they would be different towards you. And, you know, that's really the only control that we have is, you know, we can complain about other people, but we can't change other people. We can only decide that we're going to do something different. And it's hard. The first time that you do it, it's hard. I can remember I had a boss along the way, and he was a great mentor to me. I really credit him with sort of pulling back the curtain on a lot of the things that were going on in the corporate world, right? Like, a lot of times you come in and you think you understand what's going on, but there's really a subtext that's going on. And he started kind of pointing out to me, this is what's going on. And, you know, those two don't get along or whatever. But I remember complaining to him one time about somebody that I had to work with, but I kind of perceived her as not being very cooperative and even making me look bad with some people that were sort of my internal clients within the company. And I was complaining to my boss, and he said, I want you to ask her to lunch. And I was like, what? I don't want to ask her to lunch. I don't even like her. He said, I want you to ask her to lunch. And so I did. And we had a nice lunch. And what she said to me was, nobody ever really asks me to lunch. You know, like, I don't really have that many friends at work. And I started seeing her as a human, you know, and we got along a lot better after that. I started to empathize with her that, you know, the department that she worked in, there were certain things that were expected of her. And, you know, it wasn't anything personal when she wasn't getting back to me. It was that she had a heavy workload and there were certain processes that were expected in her department. And, you know, it's funny, I'm still connected with her on LinkedIn, and, you know, every once in a while I'll send her a message, but, it was difficult to approach her and ask her to go to lunch with me. And it was awkward sitting across, I can still remember it very clearly, sitting across the table from her at lunch, but it broke the ice and it enabled both of us to see each other as, you know, just fellow human beings.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, there's always that, you know, going through, you come into, you know, any job environment and you think you know, but you really don't, because there is a subtext and you're not sure what it is. You can see it, but you're not quite sure. You can't put your finger on it. You don't know because you don't know. I can definitely relate. I had a working at a certain organization. I did have a boss, and he became like a mentor to me. He has since mm-hmm. passed away. But he was somebody that, we ended up, because, and I think, you know, when you do find yourself working in certain roles that are connected to not just like the frontline staff, but also connected to management, mm-hmm. When I'm talking to like younger people, I always say, you know, try to find, if you're not sure, try to find those type of positions where you can learn both sides of the game.
Yeah.
Where you can, when you're able to do that, you're able to see what happens, you know, in live action. You're seeing the people that, whatever the company is, you're seeing the people that need to be served, the people that need to be worked mm-hmm. with. And then, you know, because the management can be sometimes, you know, depending on what type of company it is, they could be very far removed from what's actually happening. But when you find yourself in those little positions where you can, you know, see both sides, and a lot of times when you're doing that, when you're doing like data analysis, data entry, when you do, you know, doing those type of duties, you get to see both mm-hmm. sides. And I had that opportunity, and it was great, because getting, like, I had to collect all the information from frontline staff, but a lot I had to feed the numbers, because, you know, management, they only care about numbers, that's it. So, you know, you have to get, you know, they have to rely on somebody to give them the numbers, and I was that person who was giving the numbers to my manager, mm-hmm. and he would have to take those to his boss, and then the boss would have to take them to the
right,
board.
Right, right, right.
That process, and through that process we would you know, get together, and we would have lengthy meetings. And in those lengthy meetings, I got to know him as a person, as a human. And through that process, he was able to tell me about certain things that I needed to understand, just so that it would, you know, it would make his life easier. It would make my life easier. It made the work happen. Being able to go down, you know, and our financial, like the people who dealt with our finances, they were contracted as well. So we would like go downtown to the meetings, and we'd be riding on the train, and, you know, having those conversations with him, you know, finding it. Then I remember we're walking around, and he was like, you know, I went to high school in this area. And it was just like those little things mm-hmm. right there, you know, just the human element of speaking with somebody and getting to know who they are. And then you start to build that trust, and because you need to rely, because of course this is your boss, you need to rely on that person for a job.
Yeah.
You know, that's one thing. But then there's that thing of like, they're relying on you to give them what they need. So, you know, like, being able to, you know, have those type of relationships. And I learned, you know, underneath his tutelage, I learned so much. And, you know, it was such a great experience, you know. What are some of the challenges that you know that you're currently facing? What are some of the challenges, and how have you dealt with those challenges?
Well, I mean, I think that for an entrepreneur, one of the constant challenges is business development, and you know, I have worked with a number of, you know, lead generation agencies and, you know, sales and marketing coaches. And actually, I would say that in the last few months, I actually just decided to, you know, what do they say, like, let go and let God, you know, yes. Because, yeah. You know, what some of the stuff, I feel like I was really, you know, focused on that. I can get really sort of like, you know, like super, you know, focused on things sometimes and just feel like, oh, I've got to push until I get it across the line.
Tunnel vision.
Tunnel vision. And to the point where, you know, I'm not really paying attention. I'm just like so goal oriented that I'm, you know, not enjoying myself, et cetera. And some of the things that I've noticed is that some of my best and easiest business comes from referrals. And so I just decided to, you know, really start focusing more on things that I enjoy doing and just believe that, you know, that I'm going to attract the kind of business that I want. And I don't mean to make it sound like I'm woo-woo. I'm a marketer at heart, you know, but I mentioned I started a podcast and, you know, I do have a lot of clients that work in the marketing and advertising industries. And so I just thought, well, I love marketing and, you know, my podcast is not about, you know, how to, it's just talking to people that work in the industry about the trends or about their jobs or, you know, just more of an open-ended conversation. And so I just thought, well, if I do something that I enjoy, you know, I think naturally that's just going to help me get in front of people that might be a good fit for me from a business standpoint. So, you know, I guess there's that. And I think the other thing is just making sure that I manage my time wisely, you know, because there's a lot of balls that you have to keep, you know, keep in the air as the juggler. And, you know, sometimes it's difficult. I mean, I felt, especially in the beginning time of my business, I felt like I was, you know, like I had a plate at the buffet and, you know, I'd have the stuff I needed on there. But then as soon as I put one thing on, another thing on, something else would fall off. You know, I just couldn't keep everything on the plate that I needed to keep going. And so I'm starting to, you know, I mentioned I'm looking at a platform that I think is going to help a lot. I've also just got introduced to somebody that I think can help me with my social media. So, you know, just starting to delegate, you know, delegate some of the things that I need to do to run my business efficiently.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. That's definitely key, you know, not, you know, realizing, you know, the things that you can control, you can, you know, but the things that you can't, definitely. Absolutely, definitely. So what about like as far as highlights, you know, what about as far as something that you have looked at and makes you keep going? The one situation that you're just so, you know, that's always, you know, gonna stick in your mind as the thing that you're most proud of so far in the journey, and you know, how's that one thing that, you know, you're always going to look back at it and you're always going to say, this is why I'm doing what I'm doing.
Well, I mean, I feel like that happens almost on a daily basis for me. You know, some of my clients I didn't talk to for, you know, 3 or 4 weeks because of the holidays. And I've had a couple of, you know, recent calls this week with people. And so, you know, I start off by, you know, Happy New Year, getting updates on what's been going on with you. And, you know, when people say to me, I have been thinking about this conversation that we had, you know, a few weeks ago, and I've really been looking at my life or my work, and I'm starting to do this differently, and I'm getting a different outcome. There is nothing that is more thrilling to me than that, because a lot of times when I start working with somebody, The reason why we're working together is because there's some pain in their life, right? Like they're stressed out, they're working too many hours, they're not valuing themselves, you know, they don't feel valued by people that they work with. And so if I can help them reframe things, if I can help them look at their life and their work differently and make conscious decisions about things that they could do differently, and they do, and they get a different result, I just want to jump for joy when that happens. And it feels really, you know, fantastic to help somebody make a really positive difference in their life. I have some that are like pretty cool and dramatic. Like I've had people that, you know, had been looking for a job for a really long time, and, you know, maybe I kind of like worked with them and helped them develop a strategy. I always tell people to use networking as a big part of their job search. And I've had people that, you know, applied for, you know, dozens of jobs and never really made any progress. And then they start networking, and maybe I had one guy that his father-in-law introduced him to someone that he had coffee with. It wasn't a job interview. It was just a networking coffee. But by the end of the coffee, he did have a job offer. And it just so happened that like what this guy did fit really well with what this other guy's company did. And I don't think that he even was thinking about, I don't even think he was thinking about hiring anybody, but he just realized they sort of had like a vacuum in their company that was shaped just like my client. I really think that we are surrounded by possibilities. And I think there's like something that's called like the law of reciprocity, which is that, you know, if you've got any lack in your life, that the opposite is also somewhere around you. So if you don't have money, there is somebody around you who has money. If you don't have a job, there is somebody around you that might be able to hire you, right? But a lot of times we have our blinders on and we think we understand what's going on around us. But really, if we start to peel those back and start to look at the world more openly, like there is opportunity there, we will find opportunity. And it's, absolutely, you know, I've seen it. I mean, I'm actually very surprised often, you know, but I do think the first step is to get clear on what your goal is. And because once you get, you know, clear on what that is and you sort of offer it up, you know, whether you pray for it or, you know, you just name it, it's almost like you've taken the first step to make that thing a reality. And like I said, I am extremely surprised sometimes when people get exactly what they want. And I shouldn't be, because I've seen it happen many times, but I just can never guarantee it. You know, I can't guarantee to somebody like, oh yeah, you're going to get a job that you really love in 3 months, but it does happen. You know, it definitely happens. Sometimes it doesn't happen, but, you know, and it's not like I made it happen. I just encouraged them. I just, you know, and I gave them some tips on things that they could do. And, you know, we work on skills and things like that, but, you know, they go out and they take the action and they make those things happen in their lives. It's fantastic.
Yeah. That's it. Yeah. Taking that action, mm-hmm. taking the initiative, you know, definitely. That always is the best way to go. And sometimes, yeah, you will just find yourself in an environment. I remember once I was coming from a training in downtown in the city, and I'm riding on the train back to the office with a coworker, and we were just having a casual conversation. And next thing I know, there was a lady that was sitting down, and she worked at a law office, and she just off of the conversation and the way I was, you know, the way I'm speaking, she just looked at me and she was like, are you looking, you know, she was like, are you looking for, like, I'm always looking for like other opportunities. Like I said, I had my 9-to-5, but I'm always like looking for any way to put an extra dollar in my pocket. And she was like, hey, she's like, you know, the firm I work at, you know, she's like, somebody like you would be perfect for this role here. Like, it's a couple hours. It's something that we could definitely work around your schedule. Like, I was like, it's just
isn't that crazy? I mean,
I
know.
I mean, that day, I mean, I was so elated just because it was just something that I was thinking about. I was like, you know, it'd be great. Like, you know, because at the time, I just really was like, you know, in that same boat where I was just, you know, doing little side things here and there in addition to my 9-to-5. And I said, man, I can't wait for the next opportunity to come. And she presented it for me right on the train.
It's crazy, but I actually have gotten to the point where I really believe that, you know, like when we talk about the sixth sense, I really believe that it's true, right? Yeah. And I think it's like there's a level of like energetic, I don't know, like an energetic level that we can't see, but we can sense it. And, you know, if you really think about it, I've had this, you know, like coincidences happen many times. Like, say, for example, like you are supposed to meet somebody somewhere and you've never met them before. Like maybe you've emailed and you've agreed that, you know, maybe for a networking thing or whatever, you've agreed to meet somebody somewhere and you walk into the crowded room and you look around and you just walk up to the person that, and you're like, hey, are you so-and-so? Yeah, I'm so-and-so. Like, how did you know that? Right? Like, how did you figure that out? And,
yes,
you know, I don't know. I mean, I just think that there's a lot of, you know, crazy things that can happen when we believe that it's possible. And I mean, these are a couple crazy things, but one time I found a contact lens in a hot tub. Because I believed that I could find it, and I did, which seems insane. And then another time I lost an earring, I had gotten off the train. I live about 2 or 3 blocks from the train that goes into Chicago. And unfortunately, in the wintertime, sometimes when you're wearing dangly earrings, like your scarf will push it up out of your ear. And these were really nice earrings. And I got home and I realized that I didn't have it. And I told my kids, I said, keep your eye out for this earring. And I showed them what the other one looked like. Well, like the next day, my son was by the tennis courts, which are like 2 blocks from our house. And he looked down and he saw the earring and he picked it up and he's like, Mom, is this your earring? Like, yeah. And it's just, you know, I think I could have just been like, oh, well, my earring's gone. But I was like, no, I'm going to put it out there. Maybe somebody will find it. So, never know. Right. You never know.
Yeah. Oh, my God. That's amazing. Oh, boy. So, all right. So now I'm going to, you know, just to wrap everything up, self-promotion time. I want to hear about the book. Tell me a little bit about the book and tell us about the podcast.
So my book is called Winning the Game of Work, Career Happiness and Success on Your Own Terms. And it's a book that it actually started off as I started blogging, you know, when I left my last job. And then, you know, I blogged for a couple of years and somebody said, you know what, like, this is good stuff. And you probably have enough words for a book. And I actually wrote a lot more, but that was the seed that started the book. And so the book is really about the lessons that I learned. And, you know, early in my career, I thought that, you know, oh, you know, you just do the same thing at work that you do at school and you'll be successful. Well, I was very disappointed for a long time about not moving up into more leadership roles because I didn't know what you were supposed to do. In other words, I didn't know how to play the game of work. I didn't even know it was a game. They're my lessons. I also interviewed 11 people about their careers. And there's some really fascinating stories in there. And then I also wrote up a bunch of exercises that people can use to up their game, basically. And it's available on Amazon and BarnesandNoble.com. It's available as an ebook or a paperback. And then my podcast, my brand new little baby podcast, it's called Marketing Mambo. And, I say that I cha-cha chat with movers and shakers in the world of marketing. And it's not, you know, it's just me talking with interesting people that are involved in marketing. The first person that I talked to is basically a direct mail fundraising guru. I mean, he's been in it for like 35 years, and he's just a really interesting guy. I've got somebody lined up who ran the in-house agency at Marriott Corporation. So, you know, she's going to talk about what it's like to work at an in-house ad agency. I've got people that I'm going to talk to about like the relationship between sales and marketing within organizations. But actually, if any of your listeners are involved in any aspect of marketing, I'd love for them to reach out to me and pitch me on, you know, maybe being a partner on my podcast just to chat about what they do. It's available right now on Spotify and a number of other podcast channels. I'm still waiting for it to get listed on Apple, but it actually has its own. I have a website for it, and it's marketingmambo.net.
All right. Very cool. Yeah. And yeah, don't worry. It takes a while to get up on Apple. It takes a while, but you'll get there. Yeah. It takes a while. It took me a while, but
yeah,
eventually
good.
It gets there. So yeah, don't worry about that. It gets up there. I'm so glad that you came on, Terry. Thank you so much. I appreciate this. I'm somebody who I like to reach out to people far and wide, and I like to hear, I don't really have like a set, you know, like you have like, you know, you're dealing with marketing and you want to talk to at a kind of in that realm.
I really do love hearing people's stories too. And it's been super fun being on podcasts. Can I put in just one more little plug? Is that okay? If anybody is interested in talking to me about coaching, they can reach me on my website at terrybmcdougall.com.
All right. Very good. terrybmcdougall.com. Yes. All right. So yeah, if you need some coaching, I might need some coaching. Look, we all need coaching. I'm so glad. Definitely want to keep the lines of communication open because, yeah, definitely as I'm, you know, starting to venture out into some things, I might need to reach out to you.
Yeah, definitely. Well, I, you know, you were talking about loving to hear people's stories. I mean, everybody's got super interesting stories, and that's also one of the really fun things about being a coach.
Mm-hmm, definitely. And I would definitely love to have you on again. I definitely want people to return to the show as it grows, as the listenership grows, as everything grows, you know, as you grow, as I grow, you know, we can definitely, you know, get back together and have another
chat. That sounds awesome, Quinn. I really thank you for having me on as a guest. This was really an enjoyable conversation.
Yes, it was, definitely. Yep. So we will talk soon.
Okay. Thanks, Quinn.
Terry McDougall.
You too. Bye-bye.
All right. You have a good evening. Once again, I would like to thank my guest, Terry McDougall, for coming on the Last Crusade podcast. I want everybody to have a safe weekend. Catch you next week.